Hello, everyone. It's Thomas here. Thomas in the Bible. Okay, I realized I hadn't pulled up the Bible on, so the Bible was late. Hadn't pulled it up yet, so I'm pulling it up now. And, yeah, how's it going? I am recording, you know, this is like my nth episode in a row. I have no idea what number it is, but it's a lot. Well, I guess they're all in a row, but I mean, without quitting. Without stop just being fed up and not having time for this BS book. No, doing well. I'm on a roll. And I want to keep being on a roll. And I want to keep doing it. In exchange, please check out my other podcast. It's really funny. I feel like I'm doing a lot of good work on it. I don't want it to go to waste. It's not. We're doing okay with the listeners. Oh, shit. I didn't grab water. Well, I'm fucked, I guess. Edit. I'm effed. No one cares enough about my podcast to take it down for accidentally cursing. Yeah, I don't have water, so that sucks. But, did Jesus turn... I mean, I like the water into wine, but right now I'd go for turning anything into water. That would probably be a more applicable miracle, too. I mean, how much... I mean, I like wine, but, like, I think the world probably needs water more than it needs wine. It might be a controversial statement to some of you alcoholics out there, but I could go with that miracle right now. Just turn air into water in a cup with some ice. Oh man, I wish I hadn't started recording. Anyway, I put my cat outside, so on a little balcony that hopefully jumps off of and never comes back. No, I love my cat. I didn't say that. So he can't go get me water. He's outside. All right. Episode 83. We're going to finish First Kings. And then that's the good news. The bad news is there's a Second Kings, which you might've guessed from me saying First Kings constantly. It would be interesting if it was like First Genesis and then there was no Genesis, you know, or like first Deuteronomy. And then just, that's it. Just first. They should say first on everyone. It is the first. You don't know. They could come up with another one later. You know, we don't know that. But they sort of give it away when they say First Kings. Like, oh, there's at least another Kings. So, yeah. All right. I guess I'll just get going here. What was I saying? Yeah, we're finishing up that. So check out, I was plugging my podcast. Check out Two for Flinching. The Facebook is www.facebook.com. You leave out the dot. It's www.facebook.com/24flinching. As in the numbers, the numerals. It's really funny. It's good stuff. I'm having a lot of fun. That goes out Wednesdays. So this is Tuesdays. This comes out. That one goes out Wednesdays. And there you go. Your whole week's set. And then eventually I'll do something on Saturdays. I don't know. I can't do it. This is already too much Bible. I wish I could do more, but also you guys are lucky. My San Jose Sharks are on right now, hockey team, and I'm missing it. But you're the priority, and they are getting their asses kicked. But that's not the reason I was going to record anyway. Okay, let's get to it. 22, Kings 22, last chapter of 1 Kings. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? Oh, that was a question. Sorry, I didn't see the question mark. You start something as a statement, and then you go really high in the end. That was a question. I knew that the whole time. Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with... Oh, that's my cat. I think my cat really wants to come in. Ah, all right. The cat's got me. Sorry, guys. I gotta give me just a second here. Oh, this is some great podcasting. And we're letting our cat in. And we're letting him in. There we are. Come on. Oh, you little shit. Yeah, right when you want to come in. Okay, he's in. I couldn't let him yowl out there. So, yeah. Sure, someone would have called Child Protective Services on me if they had a cat yelling. Okay, hey, if you want in, you're at least making an appearance. Here he is. Here he is. Oh, he knew I was recording. Talking to the microphone, Mr. Kitty. Talking to the mic. You project. Project straight into that mic. Straight into that mic. Just project. Just come on. All right. Anyway. He's so cute. Okay. So nothing's going on, really. It's the Bible. There's two kings are like, hey, weren't we promised some land earlier? And the one king's like, yeah, you're right. So they're thinking about going and fighting to get that land that they were promised. Cat, get into the picture. Get into the picture, cat. Okay. And Jehoshaphat said, and he said unto Jehoshaphat, oh no, that's what I just read. Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. So the other guy's like, yeah, I'll go with you, but why don't you ask the Lord, see what the Lord thinks? Do I still call him Cat? He's Mr. Kitty. I mean, I call him Mr. Kitty because that's his name. I don't know. I don't understand the question. Perhaps you can rephrase. Yeah, so Jehoshaphat's like, why don't you ask God what he says, and then we'll go. And the king of Israel gathered all the prophets together. So he's got these prophets. About 400 men? Holy, wait a minute. And said unto them, that can't be right. He has 400 prophets? How many prophets does a guy need? Like, shouldn't the correct number be 1 or 0? Like, you don't need... If you have someone who's talking to God, you either, A, you're like me, and you don't think anyone can talk to God, so you need 0 prophets. Or B, you think someone can talk to God, so you find whoever that is, and you go with that person. You say, like, okay, you're my prophet. Then that's, like, what's 400? Do they vote? How does this prophet system work? How does he get advice from 400 people? There's just no way. That can't even happen. Hey, what up, scubas? All right, so we got some viewers. That's always fun. Oh, Cat, you wanted to come in. Now you suffer the consequences. Oh, okay. So the guy was referring to how I love to just tell my cat he's a cat. I think all people love that. I hope. Either that or I'm crazy. Yeah, because you look at him. You love. I don't know why, but I just feel like telling him he's a cat. Oh, you're just a cat. Oh, you're just a kitty. Yes, you are. I wonder if he's just like, God, I know I'm a cat. How many times? We covered this on day one of my existence. Yes, I'm a cat. I get it. I'm a cat. Can you tell me, tell me the news. Tell me something interesting. That's what he's thinking in his little dumb cat brain. Yeah, you're just a kitty. So, yeah, okay, I see what the question meant now. Okay, so, yeah, this guy's got 400 men. And he said unto them, he gathers 400 prophets, which, as I pointed out, is ridiculous. And then he asks them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. 400 people all said the same thing. Again, I don't know why you need 400. If one of them's talking to God, that should be fine. No, but 400. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? And so I don't know what he's, it's unclear if he knows there's like an actual prophet, Micaiah. I think he's been in the book before, but he's supposedly a real prophet because Jehoshaphat, we got an angry cat. Jehoshaphat kind of, I guess, acknowledges that there's the one true Lord and God. Okay. And so he's trying to get the other king. It doesn't say what his name is, the other king. It just keeps saying the king of Israel. Who is the king of Israel right now? I can't remember. I'm blanking on who it is. And every single time it says the king of Israel. Well, whatever. Whoever it is. Jehoshaphat's like, the king of Israel currently is worshiping Baal and Baal-zebub. And all that. So I think Jehoshaphat's like, well, can you ask the Lord? And so this guy goes to his 400 Baal prophets because, might as well. And then I think Jehoshaphat's like, yeah, that's cool. But can we talk to someone who talks to the Lord? Like the Lord. And I'm sure, as I mentioned 200 episodes ago, I read that every instance of the Lord, capital L, in the Bible, they were actually saying Jehovah. Like that's what they were like. They literally were naming him. But then someone took that all out of the Bible. I don't remember who. So that's probably what That's and it's funny if you think about it that way. If he said like, yeah, but can we talk to Jehovah? You know, like that makes it seem less important. So I can almost see why someone did that. Solomon. Scuba's question is, isn't Solomon the king? No, I think Solomon's dead. I'm pretty sure it's not Solomon. I'm pretty positive. It'll hopefully say his name here. Now the cat's really whining, but at least he's not outside, so people can't see that I'm a terrible cat father. All right, here's my thing with the cat. I expect that in exchange for letting him be alive, for feeding him, giving him shelter and a place to poop and cleaning his poop and all that, I expect just for, I don't know, 10 minutes out of the day, he's going to sit with me. And just sit with it. But of course, cats don't want to do anything you want them to do. So, well, this type of cat. I know there are breeds of cat that just are dead bodies. And you just throw them about the room and they just stay where you put them. That's cool, but I don't know. That's not the cat I've been given. So I don't understand why just for 10 minutes a day he can't just sit and be cool. All right, cat, you can leave. Get the hell out of here. Okay. So what was I saying? No, it's not Solomon. And so Jehoshaphat wants to talk to God, Jehovah, the actual God, the real one. None of these fake gods. He wants to talk to real God. So he asked for this prophet that I guess he knows about called Micaiah. And the king's like, all right, there is a man, Micaiah, the son of, I'll read now. The son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord of Jehovah, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel, I don't know what that means. Let not the king say so. Is he just saying like, oh, don't say that. I guess that's what it is. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. I think he's in prison or something. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes, and in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, made him horns of iron, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians, until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead. Gilead, and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. The king's hand, that's funny. So he needs to send Sean Bean up, because it's, anyway, Game of Thrones joke. It took me a second to remember if that was actually what it's called. It is the king's hand, right? That was, yeah, that was what Sean Bean was. And I almost said Sean Astin. what if Sean Astin played the role Sean Bean played in Game of Thrones? That'd be a different show, I think. The messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, okay, so I'll recap. Jehoshaphat said like, well, can we talk to this actual prophet? The one who talks to Jehovah, the real God, the one who's not made up. And the guy's like, yeah, right. I guess we can talk to him, but he always tells me crap. Like he always tells me like, you're going to die. You're terrible. Yeah. He's essentially saying, like, I picked these 400 prophets because they are just nothing but smooth sailing. They prophesy, fantastic wealth, tons of boobs, everything good, But this other guy, he tells me to do things and he tells me bad things. I love that. So he's imprisoned him, I love that. So that's, to answer my earlier question, that's how you get 400 prophets to all say the same thing. They're all like, yeah, go to war. It's going to be great. Or maybe they're hoping he'll die too. Though. Oh, yeah, you got this. You got this war. Go ahead. God, I talked to God. Yeah, I was just talking. We all were as a group. We heard at the same time. People at the back hear slightly later, but for the most part, it's the same time. And we all heard just a vote of confidence from God to you. So just go fight that battle. So Sharks are still down 3-0. Just in case you were wondering. that sucks. Anyway, so now they're going to get Micaiah, the actual prophet. And the words, okay, so spoke unto him and said, okay, so the messenger goes to Micaiah and he says, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak which is good, that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that I will speak. So maybe there's a little bit of collusion going on with these prophets to begin with, because this guy who's picking Micaiah up is like, look, all the other prophets told him, like, it's going to be fine, go to war or fight. Can you just tell him that? Can you just agree with us for one time? And Micaiah's like, nah, I'm going to say whatever the Lord tells me to say, you know? The guy must have been like, yeah, I know. I know, we're all saying what the Lord tells us to, but can you have the Lord tell you to tell him to go to battle? Can you have the Lord tell you to tell you to tell him to go to battle? Because that's what everyone else has decided the Lord has told them. So this is like that guy who actually cares at work. That was another for any F this podcast. That was one of Sam's good bits, just talking about. I don't really have that, but you have a new manager or somebody that comes in and actually cares about their job, and you're just like, God, freaking new guy, you know, like trying to actually do stuff. This is like that. The guy's like, look, all he wants from us is to just tell him good news. Can you just, for one time, agree with us? The guy's like, no, I'm going to go by the books. I'm going to fill out all the proper forms and do everything, you know, just those follow-ups, tie up some loose ends, follow, you know, touch base. That's the other work thing. I'm going to touch base with God. We're going to touch base back and forth, touch each other's bases. And we're going to talk and we're going to discuss and touch base. And then I'll relay what he said. So he came to the king. Micaiah is coming to the king now. And the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it to the hand of the king. And, And so Micaiah does say that, does say go. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel. So I think Micaiah might have been being sarcastic and just said like, yeah, whatever, I guess, go. That's what you want to do. And then the king's like, well, what did the Lord say? And he's like, well, if you want to know that, I'll tell you. He said, I saw Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. That doesn't sound good. Just checking on the game. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did not I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? That's what they call a self-fulfilling prophecy. literally, self-fulfilling prophecy. Someone actually made a prophecy that was yeah, because he said that. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab? Oh, Ahab, there we go. That's the name of the king. Finally, they say the king's name. Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. They're arguing. So Micaiah right now is describing a scenario that he saw in a vision where people were in heaven or something arguing about, like, how shall we convince this stupid king to go to war to get killed? And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said, wherewith? Meaning how? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. So he says, and this is really good prophet one-upsmanship here, where you just say, like, look, king, I was talking to God, and God told me that he was going to send fake prophecies to you in the form of these 400 other prophets. And that's all fake. And that's how he's going to, you know, lead you astray. Yeah. So that's pretty good prophet one-upsmanship, as I said. Show me the score, assholes. I think I can say that on a non-explicit podcast, right? Oh, crying out loud. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Which I think Hold on. Let me. Micaiah said, "Behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself." I don't know what that means, but I think essentially what that was some guy comes out, one of the other prophets is like, slaps him, is like, "Did the Lord tell me to do that?" And I think, I hope, because that would be funny. And then I don't know what Micaiah's response meant. He's like, "Well, ask yourself when you're by yourself or something." I don't know, who cares? And then the king said, King Ahab, as we learned, "Take Micaiah and carry him back unto Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace." Oh, my. All right. Sharks aren't meant to win this game, I guess. God thus decree that the Sharks must lose. And Micaiah said, "If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me." And he said, "Hearken, O people, every one of you." So the king's mad at him for always prophesying bad things. And so he says, like, go barely feed him and lock him up. And Micaiah says, "Well, if I'm wrong, then you'll come back. And if I'm right, then you'll be dead." And so the king's like, "Everyone, did you hear that?" And you can guess how this is going to end, because the guy is the actual prophet of the Lord. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and enter into battle, but put thou on thy robes." And the king of Israel disguised himself. So that's kind of cowardly, but this is This is his solution. He's going to put on a disguise, like a glasses and a mustache disguise. And he'll be the one guy with glasses, which probably weren't invented yet. Glasses and a mustache disguise. But the glasses and a mustache disguise actually had been invented. It's a funny thing. I don't know. It's a weird thing about history that the glasses mustache disguise was invented before glasses. Glasses were actually modeled after the glasses mustache disguise. Anyway, so that's the king's solution. It's sort of cowardly. He's like, "Well, I'll go out to war, but I'm going to dress like a Ninja Turtle or something. Someone, some disguise, so no one knows it's me." But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariots, saying, "Fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel." So the opposing king said, "Don't even bother with anyone except the king." And it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, and they said, "Surely it is the king of Israel," and they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bolt at a venture. I like that wording. At a venture. Just, he ventured a bolt. And smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness, wherewith he said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded." So, God works in, well, not so mysterious ways. And just had someone, told someone to, "Hey, just fire an arrow." And so some guy, just closes his eyes, fires an arrow. And it hits the king in his Ninja Turtle disguise right just in between his armor. Like, what are the friggin' odds, man? And so that's what happened. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed upon his chariot against the Syrians and died at even, and the blood ran out of his wound in the midst of the chariot. So the king died. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, "Every man to his city, and every man to his own country," as Micaiah predicted. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab, and all that he did, and the ivory house which he made, and the sites, and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of Narnia? Yeah, I had a little bit of a difference I was going to comment on, because I read another version, but it doesn't have that, so I guess they got rid of it, never mind. So that's the end of Ahab. He's sleeping with his fathers, as kings usually do. Freaking sharks. And Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, and well, guess what's coming? And his might that he shewed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of Narnia? And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. There was then no king in Edom. A deputy was king. And Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. Then said Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, unto Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with thy servants in the ships. But Jehoshaphat would not. And Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried. This is boring. Jehoshaphat asks somebody something. Somebody asks him something and he said, nah. And then he dies. I don't know what it means. And was buried with his father. And was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father, and Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of the Holy Spirit. No, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal, and worshipped him, and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel, according to all his fathers done. So, basically, the next guy to take over was bad, too. And that's the end of 1 Kings. So that's that. That we have two more chapters, though, unfortunately. And it's kind of a crappy way to end a book. Just nothing. Just another bad king. You could just summarize this entire thing. And these friggin' yawns, because it's so boring. Yeah. You could summarize this entire thing by saying the Israelis sucked for like 500 years or so, however long it was. That's about it. That's all it is. But then you wouldn't get my amazing entertainment and yawning. All right, so 2 Kings chapter 1. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria and was sick. So he sent messengers and said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. So it's like he fell and then he had a disease. It's kind of weird how it says that. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria. Oh, all right, no more. Trying to get my energy up. Where's the cat? Boy. No, he's sleeping. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, which I already read, is it not because there is a God in Israel that ye go to inquire of... There's not... Okay, let me restart that. So, the Lord... Well, I'll just tell you in English. The Lord talks to Elijah, who we've discovered is kind of a somewhat interesting character. Almost worth reading. No, not really. The Lord tells him, like, ooh, go intercept this messenger that the king just sent, or something. And ask him, is it not because there is not a God in Israel? I don't know why you have to use the double negative there. That ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? So he's saying, like, what's up? Why are you asking this other God when I'm right here? That's it. Now therefore thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. And when the messengers turned back to him, he said unto them, why are ye now turned back? Okay, so the messengers went back to the king too early, because he told them to go to a faraway land and ask their God, but they are already back. He's like, why are you back? And they said, there came a man to meet us, and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, what manner of man was he which came up to you to meet you and told you these words? Meaning, like, what he looked like. And they answered him, he was a hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. Sounds like a leather gay man, you know, like whatever you call those guys. The ones that are really into leather. Leather daddy from Arrested Development. That's what he sounds like. He's got leather about his loins. He's hairy. A girdle. I don't know if that's what they were. Anyway. And he said, oh, is it Elijah that, that homo? Hey, look, it's in the Bible. I didn't say it. That's not in the Bible, but that's what they would have said. They weren't gay friendly back then or now, really. He's like, oh, man, it's that big leather daddy, Elijah. I know exactly who you're talking about. Then the king sent up to him a captain of 50 with his 50. And who, man, sorry. What's going on? I can't stop. It's just this book. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on top. It's also really warm in here. It's summer. It's like warming up, so maybe I'm just feeling cozy. I want to just sleep on this book. Just go to bed right on my computer. And he spake to him, thou art a man of God. The king hath said, come down. And Elijah answered and said, okay, so he sent 50 people to go kill him. And Elijah's like, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came a fire down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And then he tried again, sent another 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. So he said the same thing. And a fire, guess what? A fire came down, consumed him and his 50. And he said again to the captain of the third and 50 and his 50. And the third captain actually learned a lesson. And he just came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 of thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven. I thought he'd just burn these guys up, but no. And burn up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life, he's still talking, he's still asking him, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him, be not afraid with him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no... So he's given the same message. He's like, just give him this message I've been trying to give him. Therefore, thou shalt not... No, that's part of the message. So he died according... So then the king just dies. I don't know what the point of all that was. So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son. Now the rest of the acts of... Oh, it's your favorite part. The rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of Narnia? All right, here's our last chapter. Guys. Guy or girl. Who's there? This one has a great ending. You're going to want to hear the ending to this chapter. This is fantastic. So if anyone's thinking of tuning out of this podcast right now, go ahead. No, I don't blame you. But there's a really good ending to this chapter that which you may have heard of from if you're a Redditor. Chapter 2 of 2 Kings. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Elisha is his son, I believe. I thought it was girl, but it's E-L-I-S-H-A, which doesn't mean anything, but I guess that's a guy's name. Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. So, it already said that, right? Let's see. So the first sentence of this chapter is already funny because it just said, so about the time the Lord was getting ready to vacuum Elijah up into heaven, literally is like pretty much said, like bring up in a whirlwind or whatever. So Elijah knows that the Lord is going to vacuum him up to heaven. And so he tells his son, like, see you later, leave me alone. I don't know if he wants, you know, he wants to prepare for it or something. And his son somehow knows it too. And his son is like, nah, not going to do that. And, okay, so is there another one? Sorry. I found where I am. So the son says, no. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yes, I know. Hold ye your peace. So the sons come over and say, hey, you know your dad's going to go to heaven today, right? And he's like, yeah, I know, dude. Just be quiet. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. So the repeat. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord... Repeat. And Elijah said, he said, yes, I know. Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. So we're going through this again. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and so liveth, I will not leave thee. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that the two went over on dry ground. Everyone can do that. Everyone can part the sea. That seems to be the easiest miracle there is. Just part the sea. So many people. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So, who cares? And I was going to recap, but I don't have the energy. Whatever, what's going on. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. And the song Chariots of Fire, is that Chariots of Fire? I don't know. Chariot of Fire. Now I got to find out. That's not the... Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da. Chariots of Fire. 1981. Theme song. Let's see. Advertisement. Come on. Oh, it's muted. Okay, skip it. What is it? Okay, so that's Chariots of Fire. Right? Yeah. Okay. Not gonna sit through that. But I just wasn't sure. So yeah, that's a chariot of fire appeared, and then it went to da na na na, and Elijah was like getting vacuumed up. So da da na na na. And Horses of Fire, and I don't know that song. And if anyone knows that one, let me know. And parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, so a bunch of people were watching, a bunch of prophets, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest in Elisha. And they came to him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. So everyone's like, well, his sons now... the next prophet, whatever. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. So the people there, this was not a very good vote of confidence for Elisha, because they're like, well, because he comes over and people are like, Elijah's dead. He's the new Elijah. He's, and a bunch of people are like, well, we got a bunch of people. Maybe we should go just look just in case. Well, I understand you're Elijah now or whatever. You have his powers. But can we just look, just in case the Lord didn't vacuum him up? Maybe the Lord put him, set him down on a mountain somewhere. Mind if we look? Elisha's like, no, don't look. Yes, I do mind. No, don't look, he said. And then they're like, well, please? And he was like, all right, fine. And then they found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, they said unto him, did I not say unto you, go not? So he's saying, told you so. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. See, water from nothing, not water into wine. Water from nothing, that's what we need. And he said, bring me a new cruse, and I'll put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth into the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Now, okay, here we go, guys. The chapter could have ended there. That could have been the end of a great chapter. I mean, in terms of the Bible. Like, okay, this guy inherited his father's power. Whatever. But it doesn't end there. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. That's the end of the reading. So yeah, so some kids come out and go like, ha, you're so bald. And then he's like, oh, I hate those kids. And so he curses them. And then two bears come out and eat 40 kids. He's like, my work here's done. Now I'm out of here, you know. Isn't that fantastic? The chapter could have ended. Could be over right now. But I have a feeling when they were writing it, maybe Elisha was writing with a couple other people, and they're like, look, man, let's just end this chapter here. I know you had that little catharsis of writing that experience down because it did traumatize you that they, you know, made fun of your baldness and all that. I get that. But let's go ahead and keep, you know, let's go ahead and take this part out, because it doesn't look good. You know, it doesn't make you look good. It doesn't make God look good. Let's just end it. The water's healed. End. You know, doesn't that sound good? Alicia's like, no, I need that. I need those two chapters in there. I don't give a shit. I'm putting them in there. Those a-holes made fun of my bald head, and then I had some bears kill them. Why would I not put that in there? That's what happened. Like, yeah, you know, I understand that's what happened. And you know that. I know that. He knows that. We all know that. But let's just not write it. Just because, I don't know. Just, I could be, you're the one with Elijah's powers, but just seems a little unnecessary to me that you'd have a bear murder two she-bears, murder 40 kids for no reason. Yawn is ruining my reenactment. Ruining yawn reenactment. But he's like, nope, you gotta put it in there. I don't care. I don't care about those kids. They're dead. And another thing that was really funny that maybe I can find in Wesley's, I think it's Wesley's commentary. Wesley's commentary. Pretty sure. I'll look it up. He starts right away on the offensive with this, like, right after the first sentence, he starts, you should hear it, it's hilarious. He starts going like, oh, and he's making all these excuses for why this might have happened. Here, let's I'll go find it here. So, 2:23. Wait. It says, children, or young men, as this Hebrew word often signifies, it's more than probable they were old enough to discern between good and evil. The city, Bethel, was the mother city of idolatry, where prophets planted themselves, and they might bear witness against it. There's paragraphs. Just wait, it seems. Mocked him. Great vehemency. Like, he's making everything out. First of all, he says, children, sometimes the Hebrew word meant men, like little, like young men or whatever. So they were old enough to know what they're doing. But the reading says little children. Like, how much more like children can you get than that? Also, you think men would make fun of his baldness? But anyway, this guy Wesley, from back in the day. He really, I'm not going to read it all and bore you, but he really goes on the offensive fast of like, oh, and they knew what they're doing. And it wasn't just that he was making fun of them. It was that they really didn't acknowledge the one true God and all, like just all this other stuff, just reading into this way too much when really all that happened was some kids made fun of his bald head and then he had them murdered by bears. So pretty fantastic. It's a great ending. Great lesson. Very good lesson. And I am sorry I was so yawny because I got sleep last night. I'm just so, I don't know why, really yawny. I think it's the warmth, like I said. But that's the end of my little show. So please find me on Facebook, facebook.com/TandTheB. And once you go there, find my other show. And if you I also follow me on Twitter at WW24Flinching. That's not just for that show Twitter. That's pretty much my Twitter now. It is that show's Twitter, but I just tweet jokes, really. Had some great ones. Had some great ones today. You're missing out. You got to check it out. And write reviews as usual. That's always really nice. Please do. And thanks for listening/watching. And I'll see you next time.